So let's bet. What's going to be the score?
For Wednesday or for Sunday against Independiente.
No, for Wednesday.
For Wednesday. Okay. I think I would really like to gauge it off of a starting 11, but I think Boca wins 2-0 against Racing on Wednesday. 2-0.
I think it will be 1-1, and goodbye to the Libertadores.
Faku?
Same. I think it's going to be 2-0 or
May
3-1.
history judge me.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boca in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. I'm joined by Facundo Salazar. How are you doing, Facu?
Hey, Gabby, I'm doing good. How's everybody doing? I just want to wish everybody Merry Christmas. I hope everybody's staying safe. Tough time in the world, but I hope everybody's, with some kind of family, staying safe, staying social distancing, and, they've spent a fantastic Christmas.
Couldn't agree anymore. Francisco Aude joining us from Buenos Aires. Fran, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Gabe. Hey, Faku. Hello from the semifinal spot in the draw.
I like that.
Hello,
like
hello
that.
From Buenos Aires. Hello from Buenos Aires. Hello with my COVID positive diagnosis in hand.
How you doing, Fran? How you doing in regards to that? How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Well, it's my third day after the positive, and it's not that's bad, but it's definitely bad. I mean, the pain in the body is. Yeah, you feel the pain in your body. I've lost smell and taste, and I feel it feels a lot of fatigue. You take a pill and you feel a little bit better, but it's still 2 weeks and 2 weeks at home from Tuesday, and until next year.
Well, Fran, we obviously we wish you the best. We hope you recover fairly quickly, and all the symptoms subside. So for our listeners, this podcast started out with our predictions from last week, which Facundo asked us about. So let's get right into it. Let's recap the match. Last night's game against Racing, Boca registered a 2-0 win, a very, very impressive. I just want to say one thing before we go ahead and start recapping this game. I'll go ahead and start with Facu. But I think from the first minute to the very last minute, Boca were the better team. Completely the better team, and if it wasn't for the magnificent performance from their goalkeeper, in this case Arias, the game could have ended 3-4, maybe even 5-0, because Boca wasted plenty of chances. But let's get right into it, Facu. Let me know your thoughts. What did you think of Boca's performance last night?
I mean, I think it was fantastic performance. I mean, we qualified. I mean, you guys heard me throughout the whole week on on WhatsApp, on Twitter. I was very confident of Boca. Why was I confident of Boca? Because I trust our players, but also I didn't think that Racing was a fantastic team. We were not doing good either, but I think that it was doable. Boca played horrible at the first leg in Avellaneda, and they only scored one on us. So I was very confident. Boca dominated since the start, which is what we wanted. We had a lot of chances. Like you said, we could have ended 5-6-0. The only thing that I was worried is because, that away goal, plays on your mind. We were controlling the game, we're, killing it. But you never know. One goal comes out of, a penalty or a free kick or a corner kick, and then you're struggling. So I wish Boca would score more goals and be a little more safe until the end. I like the way Boca play. I like how Russo came out and performed. I think that yesterday you showed the whole world that we have a coach, like it or not, with some mistakes that he made in the last five games. We have a solid coach for these games. We play.
Criticized the last couple of days.
Yeah, and we play against an inexperienced coach on the other side. Something funny that I heard on the TV was like, Boca had a coach and Racing had a PlayStation coach. You played how Boca games, how Libertadores games are played, and I'm happy. Also, props to Visha for taking on the PKs. I don't know if you guys heard Tevez after the game. They asked him, hey, why didn't you shoot? And, you know, props to Visha and Tevez. Tevez said, I took 3 PKs yesterday in practice and I missed all of them. So he said, I wasn't confident. And then when he came on to me and asked me for the ball, I said, go ahead. So good for Visha for stepping up. You know, that's, you know, had a lot of balls. Not going to lie to you. I mean, we're all.
It's the most important penalty of his career.
Well taken. Very well taken.
Very well taken. But also, you know, good for him. Showed us, like, hey, I'm here. I had the balls to be on this team. And, you know, let's move forward. With that being said, I like the Boca play, the way Boca played. I think that's the way we should be playing, home and away. You know?
Okay.
One of the things that Boca struggle is, like, we don't play like that away. You know, we wait for that team to score or on us to come out and play. So a lot of chances. We got to finish better. Soldano had a good game, but he got to score more goals. I mean, he's now number 9. And, you know, I'm very happy. Fantastic way to start, you know, Christmas. And, you know, on to the next round.
Yeah, absolutely. Fran, let me know your thoughts.
I think I agree a lot with Facu. Despite we missed lots of chances, we have to say that we missed chances because of Gabriel Arias, the keeper of Racing, who had an amazing and insanely great match.
He's Chilean, right?
He had,
He's Argentinian.
He's Argentinian. Oh, I don't know. But was called up to the national team of Chile.
Yeah, he has some family from Chile, but he was born, I think, in Mendoza, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes, okay. I think in Mendoza, but yeah, he's a veteran. He's 32 years old, I think. He's
33. I'm looking at it right now. Yep, and he represents Chile.
Yes, yeah, he was born in Argentina. Yeah, mm-hmm. in Neuquén, at the west of the country, near the border with Neuquén. Chile.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he came to the top division in Argentina with Defensa y Justicia when they got to the top. He was 2 years in the second division and then came with Defensa to the Premier, to the Superliga in 2004. And then he stayed there. Then 1 year in Chile for Unión La Calera and then 3 seasons in Racing, including a title. And he's absolutely a key of the team. Definitely. He had a fantastic match. Fantastic match. I think that we missed many chances. Yeah, but in part because of his great performance, definitely.
Oh, it was definitely him. It was definitely him.
Yeah, he was one of the after Tevez, possibly the man of the match.
Also, I gotta say something to you. That's how I felt in the game when Boca scored the first goal. I was very confident because I think that we have a fantastic defenders. I mean, Racing they had 2 shots in 180 minutes. I mean, they didn't do much. But I was very confident, like, hey, you know, we won nothing. I know that Racing's not going to score, so let's keep going, score another one. But I'm very happy how solid our defenders are. I think that's a way to build a team to win the Libertadores.
Best duo in South America? Licha López and Izquierdos?
Oof.
I think they are among the best.
Probably top 3.
They're not the best. They're top 2. For me, they're the best.
The numbers show us that, you know.
They're incredible. They're ridiculous. One. You know, and Racing has some pretty good forwards in Zitanich, Licha López from their side. I mean, these aren't players that are to kid around with. You slip up in just a half a second, yeah, they'll score a goal on you. And López for Racing had a really nice shot towards the second half where I was worried for a second.
The problem with Racing was that they have two wings, Melgarejo, the one who scored in the first leg, and Héctor Fertoli, who was emerged in the Academy of Newell's and then came to Racing. They are both good wings, but they never found Lisandro on the box. Lisandro López is the one for those abroad. Lisandro López is the one who played for Olympique Lyon for many seasons in France with a lot of success and also scored tons of goals in Portugal for Porto. It's himself. He's now 37 years old and he came back to Racing, the club of his life, trying to finish his career with a title. They won the league, the Superliga last year. And then this was his last shot. The Copa Libertadores.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you guys after the first leg, people consider Racing to be dead when they came across Flamengo in the draw. And they go through. and they went through. Then Boca, they said again, yeah, Racing is completely out. After the first leg, I was saying this guy is angry as hell, and he will give everything to be in the final of the Copa Libertadores and to leave Boca behind after being considered dead by the people for two consecutive times. So that's why I'm surprised. I'm surprised of what happened last night, because Racing had no attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, let me just get into the lineup real quick, which I should have mentioned from the get-go. We had Andrade in goal, obviously. Jara, López, Izquierdos, Fabra, Salvio, Campuzano, Diego González, Villa, Tevez, and Franco Soldano up top as the lone striker. A lot of people before the game were saying this is the closest lineup to the team that actually won the Superliga, the only difference being Pulpo González in for Paul mm-hmm. Fernandez. I thought, if I remember correctly, the first thing I said last week's podcast was, we need a change in character. We need a change in mentality. We have to approach this game with knives in between our teeth. We have to go at them completely, because in terms of characteristics and quality, we are by far the better team. There's no reason why we should have been outplayed and performed the way we did at Racing's ground, where we lost 1-0. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday. From the first minute, we went at them, and within 5 minutes, we had them pinned in their own goal. And they were extremely lucky not to concede within those first 5-10 minutes, in my opinion.
There was a few things, Gary, that since you said the lineup, that changed, I think. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
From the get-go, too.
Yeah, but well, besides that, I think that Savio and Vichak played a little more center. They were not out on the wing, completely on the wing. And I think that connection between the midfielders was solid. I think that was a huge change that it happened. I got to say that Camposano has to do a little bit better. He's struggling with the passes.
I want to get into that in just a second.
Yeah, I think if we can fix that, we can have a solid midfielder.
Yeah, I'm looking at his statistics right now. His pass success was 74%. And I remember tweeting that he was giving up the ball in dangerous areas yesterday on a couple of occasions. So we definitely do have to fix that. But I thought in terms of the balance with Pulpo González, it helped him out tremendously, because we're starting to see yesterday, I saw the same numbers as, you know, the Campuzano that first started to appear for Boca. Duels won 6, duels lost 1, interceptions 3, recoveries 13, aerials 2. So, I mean, he had a really, really good performance in terms of that defensive aspect, how he can recover the ball and play the ball forward to his teammates. And I think, you know, a big part of that was the balance with Pulpo González. He didn't have to worry about covering such a large area of the pitch. Now, I'm trying to find the heat map. I think I have to switch to another app to find the heat map.
I have to say something. I've been incredibly surprised by the great performance of Diego González.
We got him for free.
And who let him go? Racing Club.
And he spoke about that after the match in a press conference. Not a press conference, but
he spent the last year recovering from a big injury in his knee, turning 33 years old or 32. He said he was about to retire from football, and because Racing was letting go, because he wasn't in Becasese's plans, in Sebastián Becasese, the coach of Racing. He wasn't in the plans of the manager. The board was simply trying to get rid of one more contract. And so he was about to be back in Lanús, the club in which his boyhood club. And suddenly Boca came in the way and brought him in. And now he has beaten Racing for the quarterfinals. And despite picking an injury, it's a huge, huge revenge for him. Despite, yes. I think he doesn't want to look at it that way.
Yeah, well, that's why also big points for our board. You know, we've been criticizing them and all that, but big points for them. Like those, they were the only ones that came out and said, hey, you know, bring this guy. I mean, we criticize them a lot by the way they handled the Paul Fernandez situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, we got to step back. I mean, like, hey, those guys were the only ones that saw it, and now we're in the semifinals. Yeah. And I know you guys said it already, but in 7 days the window opens.
In seven days, it's not open already?
It's already? Well, maybe whatever.
I have no idea. I'm so confused with the transfer window.
So even though, you know, we had time to bring players, Pavón is coming back, officially coming back. So we have a solid 2 weeks to think how to build a team for the semifinals. You know, with that being said, I'll bring up to the table. Who do you guys think that we should bring? What positions? This and that. Don't forget, it's in the middle of a pandemic. Peso, our currency is collapsing. So what do you guys think that we should do for semifinals?
Just let me mention one more player. Especially in the first half, Frank Fabra was ridiculous. Once again, on that left side, not only helping Bija, but he got through the Racing's defense on numerous of occasions so easily. So going forward, Frank Fabra is, you know, one of the best left backs in all of the Americas. Defensively, he still needs a little bit of work, but I thought, you know, that was really important that
when he attacks, he's fantastic. Where he plays defense or where it's a team that attacks him.
The way he pulls the ball up when somebody's coming tackling him,
and reminds
he
just
gets past him. He makes it look so easy. And then you know it, he's in the box and he's looking in for a pass. And you know, we created a couple of chances like that. He is phenomenal going forward. Phenomenal. He needs to watch his back. But I mean, that's the risk of, you know, having a player of that caliber. I remember when, you know, we used to play 10, 15 years ago with Clemente Rodriguez. He was obviously a lot better of a defender than Fabra is, but sometimes he would be, you know, caught off guard. But he just has to, Fabra needs to work on tracking back a little bit faster. I know it's a lot to ask of him when you attack as much as he does.
You know what? Fabra reminds me to Michael Schumacher, the Formula One multi times champion. And because he, there was a very famous commentator on the Argentinian TV of the Formula One broadcast who used to say, Schumacher, when he's leading the race, he's the perfect, most perfect sportsman in history. When he's in the middle of the field trying to get to the lead, then he's a rosary bed. I mean, he's completely different, completely different. When Fabra goes on attack, he's world class. Yesterday, he was absolutely playing like the one star difficulty in any game. When it comes to marking, well, he suffered a lot in the first leg, definitely.
Absolutely. So we're into the semifinals. We're going to play against Santos of Brazil with the first leg on January 6th in La Bombonera, second leg January 13th in Brazil. So let's get into the segment brought up by Facu in terms of reinforcements. I think it's unofficially official. Cristian Bowen returning to Boca. Apparently, LA Galaxy informed Boca that they are done negotiating. I find that kind of unbelievable from Galaxy. First off, they managed to obtain the most ridiculous of all transfers of all time between Argentina and MLS, in my opinion, an 18-month loan for Cristian Bowen. Again, I'll say it again, 18 months. They had him for 18 months. That's ridiculous. And they have the audacity to lowball us. Apparently, if the rumors are true, obviously, but they have the audacity to lowball us with $7 million, $8 million for 100% of his rights. I find that ridiculous. Boca was willing to accept $10 million for 80%. So Boca will receive a future 20% from a sell-on clause. I think that was very, very fair.
Guys, tell me something. You guys know MLS way more than I do.
I definitely don't.
how can a club or a franchise or whatever it is exactly, a team like LA Galaxy, how can they sign a player on loan with a buyout clause of $20 million if they, when it comes to buying him, they can't even offer half of the price? Is it only because of the pandemic or what?
Well, that's one of the things that Galaxy fans, you know, just simply aren't understanding. They're calling us ridiculous for wanting $20 million. First off, it's signed in the paperwork. It's a $20 million buyout clause, which was signed 18 months ago when there wasn't a pandemic. Now, during a pandemic, it's understandable that Galaxy aren't able to pay that fee for a buyout.
Also, sorry to interrupt you, Gabby. Also, Pavon's level in his spell there was absolutely great. He was one of the best players on the team.
It was really good, absolutely.
He's also a former World Cup player. He's also 23?
They got
24.
A 21-year-old former World Cup player for an 18-month loan, and I will continue to say that because that is ridiculous.
Well,
from the previous board, I can't believe they even accepted that. They should have. I mean, I wouldn't loan any players to the MLS, judging by all the amount of money that they throw around. Just sell them players, don't loan them. But they got him for 18 months, a player who went to the 2018 World Cup. I mean, it's just baffling. It's completely laughable. So if Boca don't sell him to Galaxy, I'm sure he's going to attract interest from elsewhere, or worst case scenario, quote unquote worst, you know, we get to keep him and he's another alternative for Salvio and Villa.
Guys, number 7 shirts will be free from the 1st of January when Paul Fernandez leaves the team. I mean, he even has that detail. Number 7 is ready, waiting for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes to building the players list for the semifinals, you just have to send the paper to CONMEBOL saying, okay, erase this player out, Guillermo Fernandez, shirt number 7. He's no longer part of the team. Back from his loan, Christian Pavon, write him down with number 7. Okay.
Yeah, that easy. In terms of Faku's question, what players would we bring in? Well, in terms of players, I'm not 100% sure. I know the areas I want players to come in. That's definitely right back. And I think I want a striker. Yesterday, we saw the effort and the workload from Franco Soldano enforcing a lot of errors against Racing, which is all good, but he needs to put the ball away in the back of the net. He had one or two chances to do so. He really should have left with a goal. But I just need somebody more reliable up top. In terms of strikers, I don't know. I don't have any names. Go ahead, Faku.
I will bring for 6 months
Osvaldo. Pepe San. Okay. I thought you were going to say Osvaldo.
No.
You know what?
But Pepe San, 6 months. You know, he's 40, he's performing, he's ambitious. He never played for a big club. You know, he would be a solid player that is not expensive. And only for 6 months for the Libertadores. Yeah. And one more, not a forward, El Pulga Rodriguez.
You know, that one I will say is a little ridiculous. I'm not so sure about Pepe San.
But it's not expensive. They're good players. They're performing. I think Pulga's crack. I think Pulga's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
And
he has a touch.
What
other
forward? Yeah. What other forward can you bring?
Well, that's the thing. In terms of forwards, I don't know. In terms of right back, there's a name that's been tied to Boca over the last couple of weeks in the media, and that's Angelo Preciado, the rising star of Independiente del Valle. Like we always say on this podcast, it's different when you suit up for Boca. The shirt weighs a lot more. It's a different mentality. It's a different club that you need to have. But he is a promising player. I hope Boca do go for him if it, you know, he's not already on his way to Europe, because he has been spectacular from Independiente del Valle, from what I've read. I haven't seen much, but from
two
what I've read.
There are two candidates. Preciado is a copy of Fabra. He's amazing in attack. His skills in attack are amazing. His long range shooting is fabulous, but perhaps when it comes to marking, he's not that strong.
He's a little shaky.
And the other candidate is Pedro Perlaza, which is the other right back that plays in the Ecuador national team, coached by our former coach Gustavo Alfaro. Okay, Alfaro fields lots of players from Independiente del Valle and Liga de Quito, the two best teams in Ecuador at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So Perlaza from Liga de Quito, he's 29 years old, is one of the possibilities. Preciado, 21 years old, the other right back of the national team who plays in Independiente del Valle, is the name that should be the closest, according to media.
Yeah.
Another thing, I'm not. I don't want to bite into the smoke and all that, but Dani Alves is impossible, right?
He is impossible.
He was linked to the club also, but I don't know how reliable those rumors were.
Himself, he said, guys, I am not signing for Boca Juniors, okay?
Okay, all right, perfect.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay, you know that.
I didn't know that either.
I saw an interview a couple of weeks ago. I think it was 1 or 2 weeks ago. Because also his contract expires by the end of 2022. So you have to pay a transfer fee.
Oh, impossible! Yeah,
and his contract is over, according to Transfer Market. His contract is over $5 million.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of players. I'm thinking of players that can perform. You know, that come in 2 weeks and perform. I don't see the players from Ecuador coming in and performing in 2 weeks for a semifinal for Boca.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking about big players or experienced players. I think about Estudiantes in 2009, I think it was, when they hired Schiavi for those 4 games. You know, somebody that can come in, perform for 4 games, and we need good players for the semifinals.
That year. They won the Libertadores that year. Yeah.
They hired, I think it was Clemente Rodriguez and Schiavi for the semifinals.
Clemente was already in the team, I think, and he even played in the World Cup final against Barcelona in Abu Dhabi. But Yes, Chiavi was only he came on loan for that tournament.
Wow.
So yeah, that's why I'm asking for ridiculous players, but just for those three games, we're only 3 games away from winning the Libertadores. So who can come in and perform?
One thing that Pipe-san, I mean, the one thing he's going to guarantee you is obviously not a lot of running at the defense and forcing errors like Solano or anybody else would, but he's going to sit his ass in the box. And he's going to win some headers and he's going to win some volleys and he's going to score. If you provide him with service, which we shouldn't have any issues having Bijan Salvio on the wings, he's going to score goals. So I wouldn't be totally opposed to that. I would try and find maybe somebody else a little bit younger. I don't think so. I don't agree with Pupo Gonzalez. Obviously, he's a quality player. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think he plays that position. I don't think he's
talking about. You're talking about Pulga.
Pulga. I'm sorry. Did I say Pulpo?
Yeah.
Pulpo. Yeah, el Pulga.
Flea Rodriguez. Yeah. The Octopus Gonzalez.
Yeah, I mean, he was a fantastic player for Atlético Tucumán. He's been fantastic for Colón, leading them to the Copa Sudamericana final last year. So he is a quality player. His touch on the ball is ridiculous. That goal he scored against San Lorenzo the other day was phenomenal.
All his goals are
caviar.
Amazing. Yeah, caviar.
Exactly.
But is he a main striker? Is he a number 9?
No. I'm talking about a number 10, really. Another player that can play in the middle, somebody that can hold the ball, you know, so have different options.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So if you guys want, we'll get into some questions and some comments from our listeners.
We should probably say one of the semifinals.
I don't know if I said them already. They're January 6th and the 13th, I believe. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, the 6th and the 13th, which
7:15 p.m. of Argentina.
I know a couple of our listeners are from the UK, so the BBC will be showing them. I don't know what channel or anything like that, how that works, because obviously I don't live over there. But the BBC will be showing them. You know, wherever you watch the second leg against Racing, I'm sure they'll be having the
just watching the same. No matter which channel you tune to watch a match, just pick the same.
Exactly. So we have a comment.
Let's repeat. Just the same.
We have a comment from W. Montiel over here. I'll throw this out there. Soldano's best game in Boca. I agree.
One of the best.
He forced a lot of errors. He ran at the defense, which I've already said 2 to 3 times already. He did also miss a couple of ridiculous goals, but overall, I think he helped out Tevez a lot.
I feel like we said, Argentina, you're missing 5 cents for the peso.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic game, yes, but the first play, 1 minute, you had a score.
You have to score that.
And then there was another one in the second half. He had a fantastic touch to be the defender, and then he missed.
It was also a penalty. I think that was a penalty.
Yeah, but you got to score those.
Yeah,
you
know? You do. Like, absolutely.
But overall, yes. Best game, could have been better if you would have scored. That's why you pay him for, you know?
Yeah. Traveling Tom says, also, what did you think of Cardona? He looked like the most exhausted player on the pitch despite only playing for 15 minutes. This is a question that I saw yesterday. It was part of the plan. Cardona.
I think that was a show. To be honest, I think that he was just doing that on purpose.
Yeah, as I said, I think Davis and Cardona managed the time in terms of time wasting and just holding onto the ball. They managed it perfectly in the closing minutes. And Cardona was very, very slow moving forward on purpose, just to waste time. But
there was a play between Cardona and Tevez that they touched the ball for like 5 times. They lost 2 minutes just by doing that. And then Cardona got foul. And that's when he looked like he was exhausted. But I think it was just...
No, it was part of the game plan. Waste time. Hold on to the ball. He's a player who plays very well with his hips and can protect the ball. And I'm sure Russo instructed him to hold on to the ball. And that's exactly what he did. Mendes says, we need a number 9, a number 4 in January. And if possible, Pavon to come back. Soldano cannot score for nada. That's Mendes. I think I agree with him. We do need a striker and a right back. And Pavon looks like he's on his way back. Another question... from Traveling Tom, a great win in the end. The finishing was almost as bad as Racing's performance across the two legs. Do you expect Santos to be a much tougher challenge? Absolutely.
Yeah,
of definitely. Course, it's going to be harder. Again, like I said before, I think it's going to be fun to watch a game because I believe that Boca and Santos play very similar football where they give the ball to their team and play like a counterattack for the wings. Santos has 2 extremely fast wings. So I'm going to be curious about that, because if they play the wings, Fabregas is not going to be able to go as high as he always do. So it's going to be an interesting game. So I think that first game at La Bombonera is going to be us attacking a little bit more and then waiting. We got to be a solid, solid defensive performance for them not to score on us. So I think the way it's going to go is Boca's going to have the ball. Boca's going to score, attack the first game. And Santos is going to wait. Going to wait and play on the wings. Counterattack, if I can say something, you know. And then in the second leg, it's going to be the other way around. Boca waiting and playing counterattack, and Santos maybe coming out looking for the win.
Yeah, I agree. I think against Santos, you know, they have some really good wingers. I remember watching the game against Gremio, and that's how they found a couple of their goals. So I think our right back and left back have to be on top of their game against Santos. Mixed Memorabilia says Boca dominated, but we need to finish better. My question is, can we beat River in a potential final, considering Gallardo's experience in the Copa? I think as a club, we have more experience than River in the Copa. I think Russo has tons of experience in Copa Libertadores, especially as he lifted the title with Boca in 2007. So we can absolutely beat them preparing, you know, how we always can prepare.
To answer his question, it's only a one game. I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's a one-off final.
So, you know, they can beat us, we can beat them. Anything can happen to us. I mean, we're ahead. They still had to beat Palmeiras. We still had to beat Santos. Super Clásicos are different from everything else. But it could happen both ways, to be honest. It's never a favorite. I mean,
I don't think so. I mean,
you score a free kick in the first 10 minutes and then the game is completely different. So yeah. It's very hard to plan for those games, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's evident that the people want this final. Also, with our next question, this is from Ronaldo 10 Lopez. Do you want a Super Clásico final rematch really bad or nah? I personally wouldn't mind it. Again, we have to get past Santos, and River have to get past Palmeiras, two really, really good rivals. So to underestimate either of them is just a complete lack of respect. But yeah, I would want a final. Absolutely. Why not? I don't know what you guys think.
Why not? Why not? I mean, I would say that given the recent history, Boca would have more chances against Palmeiras rather than River, still being Palmeiras a stronger team than River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I clear? There is a lot of external pressure around the Super Clásico that it's absolutely very, very difficult to plan a match against River Plate, staying away from everything that is said in the media and the fans and that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would like to play them because I think we're really sacrificed our God. So that's terrible what I'm saying, but he's going to bring it. He's going to bring it. I know that.
I'm speculating.
Are you talking about the number 10?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm speculating if I say this. I'm speculating. Again, I'm saying this as a Boca supporter, fanatic, Boca fan all the way through the medulla and all that. And I don't know what they think, they as in River on that side of the fence, but I assume that they'd rather not play the final because they want to enjoy the 2018 triumph for a couple of decades.
100%. I would feel the same way.
They can, but it doesn't last forever, guys. Okay.
No, it doesn't. And if the final happens again, it goes to show that this final can happen 10 more times, dozen more times.
I'm going to say something that I was thinking yesterday. I would be very hurt if we play River and we cannot have fans. I mean, it's going to happen. What? Fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to be a fantastic final in the Maracanã. I'll be very hurt if we cannot have fans. I mean, it's not going to happen because of COVID. I mean, Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, is a nut job.
Can you imagine a Super Clásico defining a Copa Libertadores in the Maracanã?
It would be fantastic.
With no fans? What the hell?
But with no fans, we're terrible.
I think that they're going to let in a certain capacity. I really do.
I think so too.
Yeah, the Maracanã is extremely big. You can put...
Regardless of the final, I'm saying this. Regardless what teams make it, I think there's going to be some sort of percent, 20, 30, 40% of fans, 50 even.
So, I couldn't even put 30% of people with with a proper distance in the Maracana stands.
I was looking for tickets last night. They're not that expensive.
They're not that expensive, he says.
So we'll see.
King Jova says, best match I've seen from Boca in a long time. Legit good and entertaining performance. I agree. I think for especially for those in England and the UK who were able to see these on the BBC, I think they were left with a really happy feeling in terms of the game. It was really entertaining, back and forth. Well, not really back and forth action, mostly Boca, but I think the game overall was really entertaining. Paul S. C. says Boca Palmeiras will be the final. So we have a couple of predictions going on. Stephen McCarthy says outplayed them all game. Awful finishing. Game was never put away. I think so, too. The finishing, I mean, we've said it countless times already. Needs to be better. We struggled at some point to put it away. Thank God we got the penalty, which was, in my opinion, a penalty on Salvio. But I think, you know, Arias gave Racing 9 lives, if I must say, and we really should have put the game to bed earlier. But at the same time, Racing, even when they had control of the ball in the last 10, 15 minutes, they weren't threatened. They weren't really threatening. They didn't create any opportunities.
The game ended when Malgrejo came out.
Yeah.
When he came out, I told my dad, this is it with them.
Yeah, he had a really good chance in the first half, too, after we opened up. He had a
the
good
only
chance.
One.
Yeah, that was then, a really good one.
Yeah, which was close. I mean, he was very close to the goal, but after that, Racing was dead. They were mentally dead.
Yeah. Another comment from Paul S.C. says, we should have scored at least 5 times. We can't miss so many goals. Agreed. I think, you know, that's a consensus here. Nico Saneza says, excited for this one. Feliz Navidad, Bosteros. Feliz Navidad to you, my friend. And we have one more comment from a Celtic account from Scotland. Yes, he says, Boca or any team beating Racing is always good. If you like me, you support Celtic Glasgow. Okay. I don't know what
really that means. Let's arrange a friendly match between Boca and Celtic for the preseason.
That'd be cool.
Well, because Racing beat Celtic for the World Cup final.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, now that we are talking about this, let me mention something. There is a colleague who was born in Argentina but lives in the United Arab Emirates, named Rashid Ali Garcia. He has worked for Fujairah, the team in which Diego Maradona was a coach. He posted some content, which is absolutely amazing, on Diego, and he showed a picture or a video of a 4-team friendly tournament called for over 45 years old players, and the teams were formed by players from there wearing shirts with the colors of Boca Juniors, Sevilla, Newell's Old Boys, and Napoli. Why don't we try to build up a tournament for the preseason with those 4 teams in La Bombonera?
That'd be awesome.
Can you imagine this?
The pandemic, obviously, I don't think would allow it and would make it a lot more difficult, but that would be really, really cool. I think that'd be really, really cool.
Be amazing.
So to close off this podcast, a little bit of domestic football talk. We're really not going to get into this game, but Boca defeated Independiente 2-1, a crazy comeback in the final 10 minutes led by Cardona. And that leaves Boca tied in first place with River. So I'm going to read off the standings. River in first with 4 points. Boca in second with 4 points. Argentinos in third, also 4 points. Huracan with 3 points. Arsenal de Sarandí, 1 point. Independiente in last place with 0 points. Boca face Huracan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, this weekend.
This Sunday, La Bombonera. And then we face River. The game, it looks like, or at least before yesterday's game, there was talk that it would be on Wednesday the 30th. So both can put their full strength 11. But it looks like it's going to be confirmed later today, and everything's pointing towards January 2nd. Saturday, January 2nd is going to be the Super Clásico. I think really the winner of that match has the best chances of winning the group and then advancing and playing the final against the winner of Group B. But since the match is likely to be played on Saturday, January 2nd, just a couple of days before the semifinal for both teams, it looks like, you know, they're going to play a mixed 11, I'm assuming.
At least River probably going to play a mix because they play on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a little more wiggle room since the game again against River is most likely on Saturday. We play Santos on Wednesday.
Still, I think that playing on the 30th would be the most would make most sense for both clubs. okay? Not only for Boca, because I mean, yeah, it could be an advantage for us playing on the second, because I think we have a bit more of backup rather than River Plate in some positions at least. But at the same time, you just put the full team.
It would be more fun, I think, right? You
know, watch a game with both big teams. It would be more attractive, yeah.
Yeah, so more attractive 7 days before each game. So, yeah. I mean, I would play the 30th as well.
I like the 30th too. It's a shame that it's not going to be on the 30th.
Because both clubs can put the best. Then they rest a whole week until playing the semifinals. And that's all. And if they don't hesitate and see on trying to discuss, I have to field more first team players than you, blah blah blah. I think it would make no sense.
Now I think this could be a factor for Russo. So Santos play this Sunday, and that's it. Their next game after the Sunday is us, Boca, on January 6th.
They have New Year's.
They have that weekend off.
Celebrate Christmas, New Year, everything.
Yeah. The weekend we play River, they're off. They don't have any domestic matches. At least I don't see anything on FUTMOB. I don't know if something's going to get updated later. I don't know if they have any other ongoing competitions. But this is also another factor. In the middle of the semifinal against Boca, Santos play Sao Paulo, who are currently leading the Brasileirao standings.
They will feel Pelé in the team. Okay, don't worry.
Yeah, they're gonna feel the Pelé in the Santos team from 1963. But Santos is eighth place in the Brasileirao. They have 10 wins, 8 draws, and 8 defeats.
Sao Paulo is very, very doable.
You think so, Faku?
Very doable. I mean, Boca's not playing great. Yes.
Any predictions? We're going to do any predictions for the semifinal? Should we save it for next week?
Maybe save it for next week.
Next week, right? So yeah,
we're still happy about yesterday. Let me enjoy this for a few more days.
Yeah, we're going to have a fantastic Christmas because yesterday, unfortunately, Christmas is canceled in Avellaneda, both for Racing and Independiente fan.
Don't be mean.
I'm hoping to invite the individual who runs the Santos in English account. I believe he's an American who lives in the state of Michigan, who's a Santos fan. I don't know if he has any Brazilian heritage, but you know, we'll find that out in the next couple of days. Hopefully he can join us for next week's podcast. Listen, guys, did we miss anything else? Anything else you guys want to discuss or cover? Otherwise, I think that's a wrap.
I just want to say one last thing. The match against Independiente was not so strong, but we won it in the end in extreme. And that was that gave us a huge boost of confidence to turn this over last night. Mm-hmm. It was like the match when we thought we had no more chances in the Superliga in March, and suddenly River Plate tied 1-1 with Defensa y Justicia, giving us the chance of winning and trying to take the title against Gimnasia, and that's what happened. I think the reaction was nearly the same. We knew that we could do it.
Yeah, I think that the comeback against Racing started when Soldano scored against Independiente.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Faku. That's what happened.
Yeah, I agree so as well. I'm happy. I know I was happy when Soldano scored that goal. And just looking at the post match conference, he seems like a really nice guy. He says, for those who don't know, his mother actually passed away. I don't know how long ago. I would imagine a couple
years ago. 6 years ago.
He says that he speaks with his mother before every match to bless him and you know, give him all the confidence in the world that he needs to perform for Boca and, you know, to ultimately get on the score sheet as well, right? Because that's what any forward would want.
That's why it was in early 2014, and that's why he wears number 27, because it was in a day 27. I don't know the month. That's why he wears shirt number 27 in every club.
Interesting detail. We hope Soldano increases this short, I guess we could say, run of form. He should have grabbed the goal yesterday. We're bummed he didn't, but you know, hopefully he leads us to some goals in the upcoming games. Anything else, guys, before we close this out?
Not for me.
No, again, just want to wish a happy Christmas or holidays for our listeners. Enjoy the family as much as you can. You know, terrible year for all of us. Well, you know, we wish you from here, from our podcast, good holidays. Relax as much as you can. Eat a drink. Hug your family. and, you know, be happy for a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I second that. Happy holidays to everyone. Please stay safe, stay healthy. We wish you the best. I don't know if we'll be back before the new year, maybe to preview the first leg against Santos. I guess we'll figure it out as a group as the days progress. But Facu, Fran, thank you both for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.